Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the eve of the one-year anniversary of the famous, very famous Mark Janis, the Janis decision, joining us none other than Miley Smith. She is a labor expert over at the Illinois Policy Institute, staff attorney there. They're at illinoispolicy.org. Miley, thanks for joining us on the Annie Fry Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Miley, I was telling the folks earlier, I've had the distinct honor and privilege of meeting Mark Janis several times. He's been over here to Missouri. I've met him outside of the state at some conferences he has spoken at regarding workers' rights and worker freedom. And just to remind folks, Miley, Mark Janis is just a salt of the earth, honest to goodness, great American,
yes,
who decided that,
yes,
he'd had enough of government coercion.
That's right. He was a state worker himself, and he was a part of a union until he got a paycheck and saw that there were union dues cutting out. He wasn't even given the option to not be a member. And so he had, the courageous attitude to go ahead and partner with Liberty Justice Center, who is our litigation partner, and challenge the Supreme Court precedent that allowed unions to force workers to pay the union just to keep their jobs.
Yeah, so Miley, let's dig a little bit deeper into that. Every state has its own different laws regarding public sector labor unions, although there is a lot of commonality between a lot of the states. So
right.
What was the specific law on the books that Mark Janis was challenging for all workers in the state of Illinois?
You're exactly right. So the states govern how public sector or government unions work. And there was a Supreme Court decision called Abood in which the Supreme Court had said that public sector employers could force public sector workers, government workers, to pay the union if the union represents them. So in states like Illinois, we had a law that said that employers and the union could agree to charge a fair share fee for people who were not members of the union. So you could choose not to be a member of the union prior to the Janis case, but you still had to pay the union fees for allegedly their help in representing. And what the Janis
What a great racket that must have been for public sector unions. And Miley, there was nobody representing the taxpayers during any of these negotiations, was there ever?
Well, initially, Governor Rauner was a part of the case, but he was dismissed from the case early on as not really having taxpayers and don't have standing in these types of cases. And the governor was seen as not having standing because he wasn't a worker, he wasn't a union, and he was dismissed from the case.
Mm-hmm. So, Miley, what was, just remind everybody, what was the holding, what was the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States on Mark Janis's case, and how did that affect workers' rights across the entire country?
So the Supreme Court overruled its a decision in Abood and said it is unconstitutional to force workers to pay the union to keep their jobs. Now, they can pay the union to be a member, but there has to be clear and affirmative consent that they want to be a member and that they have waived their First Amendment rights. And that's what the case was about. It was about First Amendment rights, your right to decide who you associate with and your right to decide who your hard-earned money goes to.
Because, Miley, the biggest consternation I think a lot of workers have is that the public sector labor unions, especially over the last decade or so, were having a really tough time proving to workers that they were getting bang for their buck, that they were getting a benefit from all these union dues that were being automatically deducted from their paychecks. And even worse so, you know, it was just assumed that every public sector worker would agree with all the political funding that the unions gave to causes that workers may not agree with. Basically, the workers had no say, right. And to make it worse, the public sector labor unions were mainly spending all of their money on one sort of political ideology. It was the left, and a lot of workers were like, "Well, dues are being taken out of my paycheck, and I have no say over where they're being spent."
Right, exactly. And one of the overwhelming reasons that we have in Illinois why they're leaving their unions is because their unions are not representing them well. Either they don't like the way the union spends the money, or the union only cares about leadership. Union transparency is a huge issue with workers, how the union is spending their money. And, you know, there are fantastic examples in the union's own federal reporting that shows that the unions are not putting workers first. Not only are they spending money on a political ideology, but they are not putting money into representing their workers. Ask Me Council 31 here in Illinois, in their latest filing from 2000, it was filed earlier this year, but it showed that only 17%, so 17 cents of every dollar that Ask Me spent was on representing workers. The Illinois Education Association, which is Illinois' largest teacher union, only 13 cents of every dollar it spent in the last 6 years was on representing workers. So if you can imagine, like any other type of third-party organization or nonprofit that you're giving money to, and it only spends 13 to 17 cents on the dollar on its programming, people would be outraged by that.
So that's
what's happening to union members.
Yeah, Miley, so over 80% of the union dues are going to purposes that have nothing to do with representing the workers themselves. That's amazing.
Right. It's overhead, administration, benefits for the union leadership and their employees, politics, contributions, and, you know, other leadership priorities. But the vast majority of their spending is not on representing workers.
Miley, earlier in the program, folks were speaking to Miley Smith, who is a labor expert and a staff attorney over at the Illinois Policy Institute. On Twitter, you can follow everything the Illinois Policy Institute does on all kinds of public policy debates at Illinois Policy on Twitter. Miley, we had a state senator from Missouri over here, a very good friend of mine, Senator Bob Onder, who's been leading the charge over here in Missouri for various labor reforms. He was testifying up on Capitol Hill in D.C. today about a bill that Speaker Pelosi is moving through the House that would basically federally preempt all of these laws that the states have and all these reforms the states have been putting into place on collective bargaining. Are you familiar with that piece of legislation at all? Have you heard anything about it?
I am, and I'm familiar with Senator Otter too. He's a great guy, and I'm excited to hear that he was testifying today.
He was. That's a very dangerous proposition, isn't it? That the federal government is trying to now take over yet another area that the states have heretofore held.
Yeah, I would liken it to a lot of smoke and mirrors, because there is a separation of powers in the United States, and there are things that are set aside for the states to do. And this is one area where this is within the state's realm to regulate. You know, I don't agree with the way Illinois regulates it, but it is within the state's right to regulate it in the way it chooses. So if the federal government is stepping in, we're going to see, you know, that separation of powers issues, the overstepping of territory. Bills like this have been introduced in the past. A lot of it is so that they can have a press conference and talk about it. But I wouldn't expect the bill to get terribly far.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thank goodness for the Mitch McConnell-led Senate. You know, Miley, let's talk about the aftermath of Janus. It's been 1 year, and I would love to have you tell me that everyone has just freely complied with the Janus decision, and that public sector workers across the nation in California and New York and Illinois are just happy days are here again, and their freedoms and liberties have been restored. But I have a feeling you're going to tell me that the unions are doing everything possible to avoid complying with Janus.
Well, and that's the case. And there's litigation all over the country. I have had workers come to me and tell me some of the things that unions in Illinois are saying that are inherently not true, like, you know, just things like you can't opt out of your union. We have a Supreme Court decision on our side. But we are seeing the Janus decision, and Mark's Janus's story is resonating with workers. And workers are choosing to exercise their rights and not join or pay the union. We're still gathering numbers. It's still fairly early. It's been a year, but not all unions have reported their post-Janus numbers yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But early indications are that for Illinois, membership is down 3 percentage points, and non-membership has nearly doubled in the last year. So we are seeing workers who are exercising their rights. We can look at AFSCME Council 31, which I referenced earlier. We know that more than 8,000 workers in Illinois have already stopped paying the union. Some of those were fair share payers before, but some of those were members who have now decided to take the affirmative step and opt out of their union. So that's actually 12% of the overall numbers that the union represents in Illinois. So we are seeing that workers are taking notice of this case, that they are exercising their rights. And we know that word is still not out to a number, you know, a lot of people. There was a survey earlier this week put out by the Association of American Educators. Still don't know that they don't know about the Janus case or know that they have the right to opt out. So as word gets out and education spreads about rights and the ability to opt out, we expect more workers to exercise those rights.
And Miley, I think that one of the most important points to stress about this decision, the Janus decision, is that it's not anti-union, it's pro-worker, isn't it? Because the Janus decision is going to force unions to provide a true benefit if they want workers to join, right? And if they continue to not provide that benefit, if they continue to spend all their money not on representing workers but on political causes, which maybe the workers don't agree with, or on other things that they feel they're wasting their money on, well, then the workers should have the right to speak with their pocketbook, right? And if the unions want to do better, well, then maybe they should listen to their workers a little bit more.
That's exactly right. These workers are, and if as a consumer, you know, choose where our money goes. And if we aren't pleased with a membership organization, we don't have to have our money go there. But it needs to step it up and figure out, hey, why are people leaving? So this is pro-worker. It's pro-workers' rights. They have the option. They have a choice for the first time in 40 years whether or not to pay the union. And in the end, what this should do is encourage the unions to perform better on behalf of their members, you know, to not just spend 17 cents on the dollar on representing workers, but put that money, that dues money that they get from their members, for their members.
Miley, if we have a lot of, I know we have a lot of public sector employees that listen to the show. We appreciate their listenership very much, and they're very interested in this topic. If they want to find out more information or to find out more about what their rights are, what resources would you direct them to?
I would direct them to, if they're in Illinois, I would direct them to www.leavemyunion.org. And if they're in Missouri or elsewhere, go to a website called standwithworkers.org.
Standwithworkers.org or leaveyourunion.org. Hey, Miley.
Leave my union.
And of course, you can always get great information at IllinoisPolicy.org as well. Miley Smith, thanks for joining us today, bringing us all this news, this update about the Janus decision 1 year in. We'll continue to have you back on to keep giving us updates as we move forward for more worker freedom.
Great. Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.